This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Back here on One Bills Live, Trey Hendrickson is a defensive lineman who kind of had our eye on a little bit. You want to be traded, and so Bengals were going to request him, grant him access to go find a trade partner. And
right.
It's out that they're asking for a first rounder and then
first
some.
Round plus,
and then some. Yeah, I don't know. Things change once you add Joey Bosa, Larry Ogunjobi, and Michael Hoyt to your roster.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think Brandon Bean is entertaining trading a first rounder and then some away.
It's being reported they want the first round plus for him. But
hey, he led the league in sacks last year, 17.5, has had 17.5 the last 2 years. So I can understand that asking price. We'll see where he goes and
he's due 15.8 on his he's due 15.8 on his contract. And well, he wanted a new deal after he did 17.5 sacks two years ago.
Right.
He wants a new deal now after getting 17.5 sacks again.
You're looking at 25 to 30 million per year.
Yeah. And so they said you can seek a trade. So, you know, obviously, so here's what you're in for. You're giving up a one plus whatever it takes, one and a player, one and money, whatever it is. You're giving up a number one draft pick and for a one-year guy, he's got 15.8 on his contract. Uh-huh. You can do that. You give him a first rounder for that, or you can sign him to a new deal, wherein you pay him, you give him a first round draft pick, and you pay him like an established high end pass rusher at age 30.
Yes,
and he wants probably $25 million plus.
Yes,
that's a lot. So it's like paying double for the guy.
Yeah.
In draft capital and in cash.
And instead, the Bills pay around $20 million for two different defensive linemen. If
right.
I'm looking at the last two
Right. They get Joey Bosa for 12.5 or 11.5, so whatever it is.
12.6. And Larry Ogunjobi for 8.
For 8. So that's, you can do that.
Now there's your math.
Now, Trey Hendrickson, now that's the math. But you still, and you still have your number one draft pick to,
yeah, you're not trading that
to draft. So you get that. Now, the Bills have a 30th pick. But, you know, I've already gone on, I've put it on the whiteboard that they're not going to pick the 30th pick. They're going to pick someplace else, either lower or higher. Brandon can't stay still.
Declared it today.
I'm going to speak it into existence. But, I like that math better right now. Yeah. I know it's easy to say that because we're sitting here and we've been talking up Joey Bosa and Larry Ogunjobi and Matt Hoyt and Michael Hoyt. You know. So I'm liking the fact that you can sign two of those guys and keep your number one draft pick and still be less than
grass is looking
paying,
pretty green.
Yeah, you're
over
paying
here.
Yeah. And Trey Hendrickson's a good player, no question about it. Well, we'll see.
All right. Back to the phone lines we go from Ryan in Toronto is on with us now. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm great. Maddie, Steve, love the show. Great topic. So to me, it seems that the Bills are going all in with all these signings and extensions. Great. To be honest, I just hope the reason for the signings and extensions, they're going all in because they want to get this Lombardi to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. But in about 2-3 years, if they don't get to that point, all these signings and bonuses and the salary cap is going to come back and haunt them. If you look at it, the Rams went all in, they won the Super Bowl. The Eagles went all in, they win the Super Bowl twice and won it last year. And also, if you look at Dallas, they went all in about 6-7 years ago with Dak. Now they're stuck. I just hope these signings don't come back and haunt them. And I'm really surprised that they did not go after DK Metcalf because from what I know, for the past history, Bean has not drafted a wide receiver in the first round. He drafted Coleman in the second round, and they traded for Diggs in the first round. So I'm surprised they're going to go on like this. Why didn't they sign Metcalf? They could easily got him. He got the speed and the size. I want to hear your comments. Thanks, guys.
Well, okay, yeah. Thanks, Ryan. It may feel like they're going all in. I kind of don't think that because a lot of these are one-year deals. They come right off the books next year.
Say all in for this year?
Yeah. So I don't see it the same way Ryan does. And I get why he's saying that. It feels that way. The extensions may feel like that, but the extensions are all spread out over the next handful of years. They're none of these, the bonuses and all of that, those are going to be wiped away over the course of time as they get prorated and their base salaries, you know, fall off at the end of the contract. You're back to a spot where you've got cap room again. The only time they were in real cap room was last year after the Von Miller signing. And that was a big contract. That was $120 million, six-year deal with void years and the whole thing. It was basically a three-year deal they get out of. Now they got out of it. And last year was really when Von gave them the big gift of giving them $8.5 million back of that deal. And now this year they've released him, and that saves them $8 million. I don't think the cap implications are as drastic a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road as you're making them out to be. I know how it feels when you sign all these new guys, and it feels like, wow, they're pushing all their chips to the table. They're one-year deals, and all that money comes right back in your pocket next year or into your bank account to spend again on somebody else next year. I don't think it's cap risky at all this year for this year and next year. I think they're managing it extremely well. I think they got into a little bit of a pinch last year, which is why we said goodbye to all those guys. But this year it's not like that. This is these signings, these extensions, even Josh's extension, while it may be cash out the door, it's not going to crush your cap.
No. And Brandon Bean is the type of GM who's going to structure things so that it makes sense for the team year to year. We don't know Brandon Bean to make these crazy moves that really will affect a team's cap number a couple seasons down the road. Or I know last year we dealt with it, but it wasn't like it was absolutely insane for for us to try to figure out how do we get under the cap. We have to release everybody.
Last year,
a great roster.
This doesn't seem to me as big of a big a swing, going all in, as you call it. I don't think this is as big an all in as it was when they signed Vaughn.
Yeah.
And they did feel the pinch with Vaughn last year. Mm-hmm. None of these signings are that. Even Josh, because you're going to be able to work Josh's contract. You can come back and revisit Josh's contract anytime you want.
Spread it out forever.
You can spread it out forever. That's really never going to get you. Mm-hmm. It's never going to get you. You can say what you want about Rousseau and Shakir and Bernard, but even those aren't, you're talking about the top end of it is 15 or so. Rousseau's deal might be more than that, but man, oh man, that's not the kind of deal that keeps you in jail going forward. So don't.
And the cap's only going to increase by $20 to $30 million every single year.
If the cap goes up 7%, if it goes up 5%, it's going to be $15 million.
Yeah.
And it's been going. It went up 12 last year, something like that.
Yeah.
And we had Tom Telesco on the show yesterday and asked him about, listen, in 2029, the things are going to, how far
TV
out can,
deal.
You know, the TV deals are going to come up again. How far out do you start planning? He goes, it's always part of the conversation. So they know. I mean, Josh is already there. He's past the TV deal.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, yeah.
The NFL's larger than life. Amazon's coming to put games on their channels. Netflix is. It's only going to get bigger.
It might be. It's kind of a, and I don't, I'm in this business. I don't know this business that well, but here's the thing. It really got expensive when Fox entered it was ABC, CBS, NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fox came on, and now they had more networks than they had packages to sell. And all of a sudden, the numbers were absolutely stupid. Boom. And CBS, who had been the Tiffany Network, part of the NFL coverage from inception, was out for 4 years. And they were like, it crushed them.
Yeah.
So then now
you have tech companies.
Now you got you got tech companies. Good grief, you got a shipping company, an Amazon that's in there, right? I mean, you got, everybody wants in. And it's still the best thing, it's the biggest thing on television in any platform, in any market, in anything you want to, any way you want to slice it. It is an 800-pound gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Game of Thrones and MASH and Breaking Bad all rolled into one.
Yeah.
Right? So and all these entities now it's like an open auction, live auction. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, I'm not going to say there's no situation where you, but this is not it for the Bills. The Bills are not crushing their future cap with any of these, even Josh's. And you heard Josh say, and I wouldn't say they were going to do this, but they could conceivably in 2 years or 3 years go to Josh and say, hey, Josh, we need some help. Could you give us some help with the cap? And Josh said, yeah, sure, go.
Yeah.
Right? Ed Oliver did it today, or yesterday or today. He restructured his deal.
Yeah, frees up 10
guys
million.
Guys will do it. So, I don't agree with Ryan. Ryan's usually a very good caller. He's very well educated. But it feels like that, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think this is cap, cap jail that the Bills are trying to get themselves locked into. I don't feel that at all.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's third and four. And Mahomes, that's it. Joey Bosa waiting for him. And slings him down.
Newest member of the Buffalo Bills, Joey Bosa. We'll see if the Bills have a press conference today with all three. Just get one plane from L.A. Hoyt, Bosa, and Palmer.
Oh, right, because they all came from...
Yeah.
If they were there in the offseason.
Have you seen...
Hoyt and Palmer might be able to carpool from Canada. Southern Ontario.
That's right. Have you seen the Bills Sabres crossover fans that are... making the joke saying that all of this is a direct shot at Kevin Adams because these guys that all signed here came from palm trees. It's a fun... Listen. Uh-huh. We'll let people have their fun.
I didn't see that joke. I saw... This wasn't even really a joke. It was, oh, Michael Hoyt and Josh Palmer signing in Buffalo, close to home, Southern Ontario, right? Like, from Toronto. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, Buffalo's almost home. And, you know, referencing Mitch Marner, who's about to be a free agent.
All right. 803-0550... And 1-888-550-2550. We should get to the Darlene conversation as well, because that leads to a bigger conversation. But it's posted a poll on Twitter. Which of the three is your favorite? Josh Palmer, Michael Hoyt, or Joey Bosa? You can go ahead and vote in that poll online. We'll throw the same poll up in the chat, because we get polls not only on Twitter, but also in our YouTube chat if you're joining us there. And you can join us at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. 2550. My favorite of the three?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Michael Hoyt.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because he can do everything?
Maybe. I mean, Bosa's 1 year, and we'll see. Hopefully he stays healthy. Palmer is water to a thirsty man in the desert.
Yeah.
He so God desperately needed it that it can't be my favorite. It's like putting, you know, $5 of gas in your car. You needed it.
Right. Yeah,
but I like it. I think Hoyt right now is the most intriguing to me because of the chess piece on defense. And, you know, as you mentioned in the first segment, how the Bills are going to have to start doing things a little bit differently, whether that's risking on injuries or risking on players and character. They need different results in the playoffs. And a player like Hoyt, we'll see. I might be gone on this idea in 3 weeks into the season. But the idea of a chess piece, thing they can use in a matchup that brings them some advantage. I'm intrigued. So I think Michael Hoyt's my favorite.
I would probably go with Palmer just because I think the need at that type of receiver was so... They had to do it. But I wasn't confident. I think the reason I like it the most is I wasn't 100% sure they would do it. That they would get a receiver like that. Like a separator, a guy that could beat man coverage, where they just run it back with Matt Collins and what, another Amari Cooper type? Maybe someone that's kind of advanced age or what? I guess I didn't know what they would make that other receiver move to be.
Yep.
So I like what I saw there. I always thought they would add a defensive end. I always thought they would add, if they couldn't get the big names that were out there or seemingly out there, I'm not surprised at all that like they made these two moves. Maybe I'm a little surprised Bosa ended up being one of them because of the injury stuff, and they often don't like that, but I'm not surprised by either of it. And, you know, they're both pretty good, right? They're both pretty good. They're not amazing players, but maybe you could think that's in there still for Bosa. I might question that it is. Like, what's the best you could see him being this year?
Bosa?
Yeah. Like, because Hoyt is going to be capped on this conversation at some point. It is more about what you said, the chess piece of it, rather than him being like some dominant force in the league.
Right.
Bosa, though, is possible for that?
I think the best case scenario for Bosa, a lot of the NFL people out there immediately had the thought, you're load managing him from the start. You know what? Wrap him in bubble wrap until January.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that what you've got here is a player you need to spend the entire season making sure he's healthy when it counts.
So you're almost using him, at least in the regular season, are you using him the same way you used Von Miller? Which is
limited
third downs.
It might be
long situations and not like there were games this year that the first was it the first Baltimore regular season game where Von played five snaps.
Yeah, he didn't really play.
Like, are there going to be games like that for Joey Bosa?
Probably. And that's if there's one criticism of the move. I mean, there could be a couple, but I'm not convinced it'll be better than Von. I thought keeping Von was a reasonable idea, and they didn't, and they ate $15 million in cap. And sign Bosa instead. Okay, that's fine. You can do the math whichever way you want. But last year, limited snaps for Von. He had a better pass rush win rate, right? A better
He had more sacks,
a better PFF grade, and more sacks.
Yeah.
And Von is older. There's no doubt about that. So maybe you're guessing. You know, is one player more likely to drop off, and the other player is more likely to rise up through injury/age,
yeah,
that might be the bet the Bills are making. 803-0550. We'll get some calls in on this, on Bosa, on Reggie Gilliam. Let's get our Gilliam callers. Where's the Gilliam hive?
You didn't even put Gilliam in the poll.
Well, he's not a...
You had room for it,
he's,
too.
He's not
you
an
only,
ad.
You only put three options.
He's not an ad. He's a,
okay,
he's a stay. Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So, I definitely want to touch on Darlene, but I'll start with the free agency. So I like our picks. I mean, why not take a flyer on Bosa, right? $12 million 1 year. And if this guy can give us, like you said, a little spot play, obviously I'd love to see if Bill did the due diligence and checked his medical. And if he's healthy and ready to go, I mean, just let him go. Let's see what he can do. If he can even have half of some of the years he had in the early part of his stages, it's a win for us. Mm-hmm. My favorite signing is Palmer. I just really liked him in all the years he was with the Chargers. And I said, man, this guy's got some hands and he's tough. I know he's not super fast, but I'm thinking in the draft, I still want a monster defensive tackle with the first round, unless, and I've seen a couple mocks since free agency, and I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, so Joe or Jeremy, help me with this. The wide receiver from Arizona, they have him fall into the Bills at 30, which I'd be shocked.
There's no chance. Tet McMillan.
What's
makes
his
it.
Name?
They call him Tet McMillan. There's just
no way.
I guess I shouldn't say that, because Matthew Golden on some boards might have moved up to wide receiver one with his 40 time, but Tet McMillan I've seen is like as high as 5 or 10.
Right.
What's, I mean, I can't believe any world where he makes it to 30.
Like, the first one I just pulled up, he went 8th.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, it was one of the NFL mocks, and then there was another one. I was like, there's no way this guy's going. But of those, I know there's 3 projected in the first round. Are all 3 of them fast? So, I mean, they all, like, below 4.5 40s, do you know?
Yeah, McMillan ran fast, right? And
Golden is number fast. One fast guy at the combine.
And then who's is the third one? Travis Hunter, because he's fast. But is there another receiver I'm missing?
Egbuka gets a lot of run in the first round. I don't know what he ran. He's another guy that's supposed to just be really good, and maybe his 40 time wasn't incredible. What was his 40 time? I didn't really pay attention to Emeka Egbuka's 40 time, but he's a good fit.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Josh Palmer, a guy who can stretch the field, who can separate, and give them that horizontal and vertical threat that Brandon Bean, their general manager, said was the missing piece for their offense. And now they feel like they are set with this offense. And more of the future going forward is how do we fix this defense and maybe get a little bit more speed, a little bit more pass rush, so when we get back in that AFC Championship game against the Chiefs or whoever, that it won't be all on Josh to get it done.
Cameron Wolf, NFL Network. Now they feel that they are set on offense. He said that like he knows that. You think he knows that? Now they feel, or do you feel that they're set on offense?
I don't. But I think there is an opportunity for them to be better at receiver. I think Hollins was just a bit of an anchor for them. Like, I know that he had a good year, but him having a good, like, good
31 catches.
Good for Mac Hollins is not good for my offense. Like, you know, if Mac Hollins is good for me, I'm not good enough. You know, like, it's a little bit of a dilemma, I think, to talk about. Five touchdowns leading you in receptions, receiving touchdowns. No, that should not be my leader. It all is kind of a complicated puzzle to piece together because they were overall was I don't quibble with the results. I mean, they scored their points, set a franchise record for points, second highest scoring team in the league with Mac Hollins playing all the time and catching five touchdowns and that being the most anyone on the team had. That still doesn't really compute. Right? If you set down some of those numbers to me and asked me, was this a good team? especially a good, like a record setting for the franchise offensive team. No. But yet they were good. So I don't know. All set. All set would mean a big bet on a guy the organization has been vocally critical of publicly in Coleman. Like if Coleman had had a rookie year where he caught 70 passes and 5 touchdowns or something to tie Matt Collins for the team lead in touchdown receptions, like, okay, I see it. This guy's coming. I get it. He did not have that year and really fell off after being injured to such an extent that the coach and the GM have sort of taken turns telling you they need more. And that feels like message sending, which makes you worried that the message needs to be delivered publicly in the first place. Like, is he not? Is there some switch that needed to be flipped that never got flipped? So that would be a big bet to me. And that's why, you know, like yesterday when Palmer signed, when he signed, I thought, okay, well, Hollins is back. Then this is, there's your Cooper replacement. And all right, I think, you know, that's probably their receiver room. But now with Hollins not being here, I'm not sure that I feel that way. Because now you're asking, I think, Palmer to effectively replace two guys, two veteran guys you lost in your team. Or you're saying Coleman has to step up, and maybe Kincaid should be mixed into this, even though he's not a wide receiver. But productivity-wise, again, like if he leads your team in receptions and the number is, you know, in the 80s, okay, then I can start to see it a little bit. But that also feels speculative. In a certain way, they were similar in voicing public displeasure with Kincaid about really his body, I guess. Like he needs to get heavier and be more durable or stuff like that. That's two key cogs that if, like Cameron Wolf is correct, they're all set, then you're banking on two things that went kind of the wrong way for you, and you've said as much publicly. That would be kind of stunning for a team that is the level of contender status the Bills are, I think.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an uneasy feeling if you're sort of assuming, it's not really the word, you need Coleman and Kincaid in his way to step it up. And they're just the best, most, I think maybe the best you can do for expecting that is like their prospect pedigree. Like both were nice prospects, first round pick, then Coleman first pick of the second round. But there just has not been enough yet for either guy for me to want to assume it. Did you know how many rookies last year, I don't mean this to be unfair toward Coleman, like it's rare when this happens at all, but he had 29 catches. Do you know that 4 rookies last year finished in the top 10 in receiving yards in the league?
I did not know that, no.
Does that kind of shock you?
Yes. You're going to start listing the guys, and I'm going to go, okay, well, Neighbors, of course, had a monster year with horrible quarterback play. Holy cow, what a year he had, considering what he was dealing with there.
5th in catches, 7th in yards for the Giants.
I bet McConkey's on that list with the catches he had for the Chargers.
1149, 10th in yards.
I don't have the other names at the tip of my tongue here.
Brian Thomas.
Oh, of course.
Right. Was 3rd in the league in receiving yards for Jacksonville with what a quarterback? And then Bowers.
Oh, okay. One tight end in the mix here. All right.
8th in yards, 3rd in catches. Man, McConkey had Herbert. The other three, it's so counterintuitive. I mean, well, you know, the Bills had the blueprint. Lots of different guys involved. Okay. And these are first-round picks, even high first-round picks, and McConkey on losing teams, except, you know, Chargers a little bit of an exception. He really did stand out. But Bowers, Neighbors, Brian Thomas Jr., on bad teams where they're really like all the offense for their teams, and they were not denied. You know, that's what you want.
if that's not fair to Coleman because it's too high a standard, okay. I mean, he had the MVP quarterback and he had caught 29 passes. So that's got to go way up. That's just got to go way up. Four out of the top 10 players in the league last year in receiving yards were rookies. It's a pretty big drop after that. I don't know who would have been fifth. I could look. 803-0550 is the number. Here's Matt with us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Real good. Thanks.
Just want to say I do like the Palmer signing. You know, I don't think they're done by any means, but I think he's a good player. Every time I watch the Chargers games, he was always making plays for them. He gets a lot of separation. I think he was top 10 in route win percentage last year. All his routes look the same, so whether he's running like a go or like a comeback or like a, you know, out or an in, they all look the same. So that helps them with that. But I do think they're still going to add something in the draft. You know, maybe second-round picks. They have two of them this year. You know, maybe even the first round if the right player is there for them. But, yeah, I definitely don't think, you know, would they have enough to still be one of the best offenses in the league? Yeah, probably. But, I mean, it doesn't matter that what they do in the regular season. It matters what they're going to do in the playoffs. And, you know, if they're not going to be able to fix the defense to stop Kansas City, then they're going to need more firepower on offense to stop score.
Okay, thanks, Matt. I mean, it's a little much to say whenever you watch the Chargers, he was making plays. That's what you'd say about McConkey. But the guy caught more than four passes once. It's like saying the same thing about, you know, Coleman or Hollins or somebody. It's really, there's not a lot there.
Yeah,
you can like the player.
Yep.
Everybody's buying into the idea that he's a fit for the Bills. Great. Not everybody is going to love the money, but you know how it is with the money. So okay, but it's not. He's not been.
I don't see anything other than hope that should lead you to the Bills found their number one receiver yesterday by signing Josh Palmer. I like the fit. I like the skill set. I like, you know, where he should fit in on a team that should be good at throwing the ball. But it would absolutely stun me. Could it happen? Sure. Bigger role. I don't know. Maybe he hits it off with Allen and the whole thing just goes and it all works. But I would not bet on him being their leading receiver right now, sitting here today. So, you know, you've still got Shakir here, that's who I would bet on for that. Even with Kincaid hopefully rebounding and being healthier, I think Shakir will stay at the level he's at. Maybe you can hope for a little more there. I don't know. Certainly you'd like to hope for more touchdowns. But again, there's hope. What have I got that I can really bank on? I don't know. Like Palmer's career is like, I think he's getting the right amount of credit for the things that he's been good at and the fit that he represents. But I think you're reaching, in my view, if you think he's suddenly going to show up here and catch 90 passes or something. I just don't. He's never been that guy in the league yet. So
I think 50's good.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, after Shakir, their number two wide receiver last year caught 31, less than two a game. Samuel was tied for the second most catches on the Bills as a wide receiver. I'm not giving Kincaid wide receiver status on this one. I do that only when it's convenient for my argument.
I'll
do it. Yeah. I will do it sometime, but not this time. When it comes to rookie tight ends and how amazing is, well, you know, wide receiver. He really was a wide receiver, so who am I supposed to compare him with this time? I'm not going to do that.
Steve, oh, excuse me. I took a sip of...
You're Dr. Pepper.
Right before I came back on. Steve Tasker, Chris Tripasso here with you until 3. Thanks to Terrell Bernard and congratulations to him on his 4-year extension. He was in town signing that deal. He's told us he's going to be in town for a week, mm-hmm. getting his off-season program up to snuff and getting it all under his belt before he goes back to his home and starts training.
Hard worker, leader of the defense, so smart, and he spoke to it. He learned going from year 2 to year 3, it wasn't just about him understanding where he needed to be, but where the weak side linebacker needed to be and where the defensive tackles were going to play. And you could see him. You watch Bill's film. You watch the games on Sunday. He is pointing out everything. I think his pre-snap ability is as good as he is once the football is snapped. He's a very smart player.
Yeah, and I was saying this, too, throughout this last week that, you know, what it – you get these guys in there, and it comes down to you can really tell what the club thinks. And I said it in his first question I asked him. You can really tell what the club thinks of when they're forced to act on or on behalf of you. When they give you the big contract, they can say what they want in the media, and they can say what they want be pre-draft, but when they have to make a draft pick, that tells you where they where their thoughts are. And when they have to sign a guy, that tells you where their thoughts are. So signing Rousseau, Shakir, Bernard, Josh Allen, even Reed Ferguson, it tells you what's important to them, and they have to back up their words.
And we're sitting here on the first day of free agency. They didn't let any of those guys even get close to free agency. You don't want that to happen. Yeah. You're right that those were the core pieces that would lower the salary cap hit for all of those guys and just keep them in Buffalo for the next 3 or 4 years.
We were going down the list of things that had happened over the weekend. I think we left off. Myles Garrett re-signed with the Browns. He's now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. $140 million a year, 4 years, $160 million. Devontae Adams, the wide receiver who last year played with the Raiders and then moved to the Jets and ended up having over the course of two teams, 85 receptions for 1,063 yards, 8 touchdowns. He signed with the Rams, as you might probably well know. It feels like it happened 6 weeks ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
With everything that's happening. He gets $26 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, but it's virtually a one-year deal if the Rams can get out of it. And this is a Rams team that has already said they want to either release or trade Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper Kupp, 31 years old, played in 12 games last year, 67 receptions for 710 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then they're trading him for Devontae Adams, who's 32 years old. But he, like I said, he had 85 for 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns with 2 different teams. Devontae Adams, I would say most people say Devontae Adams is a better player than Cooper Kupp. But for what they've asked Cooper Kupp to do in L.A., those are hard numbers to duplicate. I would rather have, no question, I would rather have Devontae than Cooper. But it's not by that much.
No, it's not by that much. I think the biggest difference here would be Cooper Kupp's dealt with injuries in each of the last two seasons. Whether they know that he's not going to ever be the same or not, it wouldn't be shocking given his age. And I think at this stage, even at 32, like you mentioned, Devontae Adams probably a little bit better of a route runner. And they have Puka Nacua that has really emerged into that Cooper Kupp X role for Sean McVay as the do-everything underneath, yards after the catch, contested catch, wide receiver. Devontae Adams feels like he can be a high-end number two with still a lot of the attention on Puka Nacua.
And I'll say this, too, that the Rams are doing what they're doing. The most interesting team over the weekend was probably Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. They released Tyler Lockett, and they traded DK Metcalf, two very prominent players in their locker room. And then they also traded Geno Smith, their quarterback, who Geno has been – this last year he was, middle of the road starting quarterback. He wasn't tremendous, but he's 2 years ago he was like seventh in QBR. I mean,
and they got to the playoffs with him.
Got to the playoffs with him. But they traded him to the Las Vegas Raiders, to his old coach, Pete Carroll, who took the Raiders' job. The Seahawks looks to me like they've painted themselves into a corner. They don't have a quarterback. And they traded to a DK Metcalf, who is a dynamic wide receiver, and Tyler Lockett, who is a beloved wide receiver. Do you do that without having a plan to replace that guy? Because does that put them in the middle of the Sam Darnold sweepstakes? Because Darnold hasn't – we haven't heard anything yet, and it's the tampering period has been going on for 90 minutes. You would think somebody would have come out and said, we've agreed to terms.
Well, all we know from the Seahawks at this point is now they have a glut of picks in the draft, which is great. Five in the first 92. That is huge for a general manager to have. But does that indicate more that they're feeling like they need to rebuild and add in young, cheap talent? That's kind of how I feel, because – maybe this is just me, and tell me how you feel about this, Steve. Sam Darnold going behind a shoddy offensive line. Geno Smith was not protected well. The run blocking was not good for Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet last season in Seattle. Seems like it could be another Jets-like disaster for Sam Darnold. When he was in Minnesota last year, great offensive line, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, a
tremendous
pretty good
weapons.
Deep, tremendous weapons. Jordan Addison as their wide receiver number two, Aaron Jones in the backfield. That's why I think more than so than anything else, why we saw Sam Darnold of 2024 that was unrecognizable. If he goes to Seattle, bad offensive line, and who is going to catch passes? Jaxon Smith-Njigba and then some rookies potentially. That would be kind of a recipe for disaster. But you do wonder, what is the Seahawks' plan at this point?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really have,
and
no
you and
clue.
I think the point is, we think they've got one. I would be surprised if they don't come up with, like, Sam Darnold.
There was Rodgers.
Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, for goodness sake, something.
That's
you got to have a
guy.
Who's
played. Yeah, yeah,
you got to have somebody that you've been having backdoor conversations with saying, hey, we're mm-hmm. you know, what about it? If they don't, are they going to trade all five of their top 92 picks to move up into the top five and get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or one of these guys? I don't know.
It feels like their GM, John Schneider, though, obviously going back to the Legion of Boom, Russell Wilson era, he is one of the better GMs in the NFL. He, in that DK Metcalf draft in 2019, I vividly remember this, they started that draft with like three or four draft picks, and he traded back a bunch and finished with like 10. Now they have five in the first 92. So he's done a reasonably good job in the draft, navigating quarterback situation to move from Russell Wilson, get Geno Smith, played really good football there in Seattle. But right now, they're one of the more barren rosters in the NFL.
Yeah, that's – I think it's bears watching. That's why it's one of the most interesting things, because it really feels like they're digging themselves a hole mm-hmm. and they've still got the shovel in their hand, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we'll see. We will see. One of the other things that happened, we knew that New England Patriots have a ton of cap space, $130 million in cap space. They spent some of it over the weekend on the newly released Harold Landry, defensive lineman from the Tennessee Titans. He's a guy that played for Mike Vrabel, the new New England head coach. He played for Vrabel when Vrabel was head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Now they're reunited in New England. It's kind of old school. You see coaches go back and get one of the guys they played with. Sean McDermott did it here in mm-hmm. Buffalo with all the guys that they brought up from Carolina when he was defensive coordinator, Starlo Tulele, guys mm-hmm. like that. You see coaches do it because coaches love guys who are known commodities.
Yes.
Because they know they can do certain things. At least we can do this. There may be other guys out there that have a bigger upside, but you don't know anything else about them.
Yeah, and
so they don't like those guys as much.
And I think we see that with the homegrown talent. Like the Chiefs re-signed Nick Bolton. It's like one of the highest linebacker deals in terms of fully guaranteed money. Is he like the third or fourth best linebacker in the NFL? No, not necessarily. But for the Chiefs, he is a known commodity for Steve Spagnuolo and that defense. So that kind of speaks to that point and makes perfect sense why, even though Harold Landry is not a top-tier edge rusher, he's a quality player, and Mike Vrabel knows what he's good at, knows what he's not, strengths and weaknesses, and just understands the type of player that he's getting. That was like the first signing that we saw that really started this avalanche over the weekend before free agency. So it made a lot of sense for Landry to go to the Patriots.
Well, so for right now, that's Around the NFL, presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. That's what happened over the weekend, and we're trying to keep a pulse on how fast this thing's moving as we get around. If you want to jump in on this conversation and talk about the extensions, you can at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. I missed one call. They couldn't hang on any longer. Sorry about that. But you can give us a call and you can get in on this conversation. A ton of stuff is happening around the league, and it's really intriguing to think about the quarterback and how thankful are we as in Bills country and Bills Mafia not to be in the quarterback sweepstakes anymore.
Especially this year.
You've got a team like the Indianapolis Colts reportedly salivating over Daniel Jones. it's a tough world to live in. We know it. We know it here in Buffalo. So it's nice to have the MVP sewed up for the next 6 years and a bunch of guys around him who, you know, would really walk over hot coals for him. So this spot, Steve Tasker, Chris DiPasso here, One Bills Live. As Twitter finally gets up and running, we'll be able to keep a better handle on what all is being said around in the NFL and one of the, some of the things that are going on. What is your early take on, you know, what might be and what could be and what should be?
Well, you're mentioning the Patriots having a lot of money. They have Drake May. They had one of the most barren rosters in the NFL, and they were, had they lost to the Bills in that Week 18 game, they would have had the number one overall pick. But they won that game against Bills backups, pushed them down to the fourth pick in this draft. They need to spend money. They signed Carlton Davis, the cornerback from the Lions, previously of the Buccaneers, and just now Morgan Moses, who longtime Commanders tackle, was with the Jets last season, older, always has really dealt with injuries a lot in his career, but a pretty good player. It's important to remember this time of year, especially within the first 2 hours of free agency starting, the teams that have a lot of money and are going to be the big spenders, and you're going to see a lot of those team names on Twitter, they're not paying the Terrell Bernards and the Khalil Shakirs and the Greg Rousseaus. They need quality players on their roster. They don't have them. So we've seen historically the Bills wait until later, second, third wave, to sign those free agents.
Yeah, Adam Schefter is now reporting that Eagles corner Isaiah Rogers reached an agreement on a two-year, $15 million contract with the Minnesota Vikings. So a cornerback off the Philadelphia Eagles is on the move to Minnesota. He's got $8 million guaranteed, reportedly. That, once again, by Adam Schefter. It's going to happen. It's going to happen fast.
One other one, DJ Reed. This kind of impacts the Bills because it's from the AFC East. Right. DJ Reed, Jets, slot corner, pretty good player, very feisty, signs with the Lions. Don't know the actual money yet, but he's signing with the Lions, a team that certainly needs help in their secondary.
The Titans are going to try and make a splash on the offensive line. They think they're going to sign the Steelers' left tackle that is out there.
Dan Moore.
He may go to the Titans. They seem interested in him. DJ Reed gone. There it is. I mean, you get this stuff and it gets repeated like 10 times on your timeline.
Yeah, so. One other one too, because we were down from Twitter and it seemed like all the insiders were trying to catch up, which was interesting. One of the biggest ticket free agents, Milton Williams, who was great in the Super Bowl for the Eagles, former third round pick, played everywhere up and down the line of scrimmage. While Twitter was down, I don't know how some of these insiders were doing it, were tweeting that, oh, he's going to sign with the Panthers. But now a few of them are retracting Diana Rossini, not retracting that it's not happening, but it's just not done yet, that there are other teams like the Patriots that might still be interested, and there's this maybe just last-minute 11th hour.
Which guy is this?
Milton Williams.
Oh, yeah, the D-tackle. Yeah.
D-tackle from the Eagles, 11th hour offers from other teams that have a lot of money that need defensive tackle help. Milton Williams to Panthers, but not 100% done yet, which is weird because we normally only get these reports when it's a signed, sealed, and delivered thing.
Yeah.
But this one is not yet.
Yeah, you see as well, the New England Patriots are signing a ton of guys that have pasts with the coaches on Vrabel's staff.
Yep.
Morgan Moses, 3 years, $24 million to go to New England. He was a guy that played Moses is a guy that played with McDaniels. No, that's not right.
Is that right? Ravens, Jets, and then he started his career in Washington, I remember.
He's been around. Played Robert Spillane is also on a Patriots staff. Josh McDaniels, Harold Landry played for Vrabel. Morgan Moses was with Todd Downing in New York. That's where he was.
There you go.
And Todd Downing on the staff with Vrabel. Carlton Davis going over to New England. I mean, they've got
New England. Needed pieces. They needed to sign people.
You know, and these guys, some of these guys may thrive in New England, but none of these guys, I mean, none of this is like, a Myles Garrett or, a Trey Hendrickson or some of these guys moving around. It's not, good players, no question, quality players. They're the kind of players that will rise up around your really great players.
Yes, you need the homegrown.
And let's face it, too. I think New England's got a guy in Drake May, and I think they're very quickly going to emerge as the voice and the face and the engine that makes that go. It's got to come from somewhere, and that guy's got what it takes. And these type of guys that New England is signing are the guys that kind of drive that engine. They'll jump on board with the young player and help him along as best they can.
You mentioned it before. The Patriots went into free agency with $121 million in cap space, by far the most in the NFL. Second, LA Chargers at just under $94 million. And then spinning this to another AFC East rival for the Bills. Now the Jets Jets lose Morgan Moses, who was kind of their patchwork right tackle last season that they signed, and DJ Reed, who was one of the vocal leaders, a quality blitzer from the slot, could play man coverage. It's a team that is in such a state of flux, obviously, with their new head coach, Aaron Glenn. Just a completely new head coaching staff, no Aaron Rodgers. And for a defense that has given the Bills a lot of problems over the last two or three years, it's a group that's going to have a lot of new faces on it in 2025.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Cindy in, I believe it's in Buffalo. Cindy, go ahead. You're on with Steve and Chris. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi, Steve. Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is, I'm glad that they released Von Miller. I've been calling for the past 2 years and saying that we're wasting our cap on him. He's older. He's a great guy. The question I have is, what's going on with Cook? Cook was put in, like, for every play, and he really produced. So why aren't they giving him what he wants? Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Steve?
Good call, Cindy. Vaughn, for what Vaughn was here, brought here to do, it was going swimmingly until
he tore that ACL.
Vaughn got injured, and then it was a long road back, and it was a short rest of the contract. So, they did it. You knew it was coming with Vaughn. Vaughn knew it was coming. You could see it on the wall. The economics made sense for him to be released, and he did. As far as James Cook, there's no hurry to get him done. Mm-hmm. You've got all the way until August to get James Cook done. He's under contract another year, and he's going to get $5 million on that deal. It'll be by far the most he's made in his rookie contract. Not that it's a life changer, which at some point he will sign a life-changing deal. But it's not going to be for a few months. It'll probably be post-June 1. And so, yeah, there's no hurry to get him done because his contract isn't up just yet.
And even though we just had Terrell Bernard in, Khalil Shakir, two other members of the 2022 draft class that was spectacular for the Bills, already signed those extensions, when you're a running back, you don't necessarily need to rush that second deal, because if it does bleed into the season, then you still get to see, can he still sustain that level of productivity that he had in his third season this past year. At linebacker, at wide receiver, you kind of know what you're going to get. There's not a age 26 or age 27 drop-off. With running back, there historically has been. Now, the Bills and James Cook obviously probably feel confident about his ability to sustain that level of productivity, but it was really, really high, set the franchise record in rushing touchdowns during the regular season. It might actually be smarter, just from a team-building perspective, to wait on the running back spot as compared to getting the contracts done at some of the other positions.
I give some input. I don't know how much he takes it into account. I know he took it into account last year, which I'm very grateful for, that he's got that trust and respect in me. But that's not what I get paid to do. I get paid to throw the football and try to lead the team, not pick the team. So that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, like Allen doesn't get paid big bucks. Okay. Good effort. Josh Allen. Interesting, he did say, I know he did take my
Coleman
thoughts into account last year when it came to Coleman. I've just sort of played with that one too for a few years here, because when they drafted Kincaid, Bean disclosed that, not like he was trying to hide it or anything, or needed to be, but that Allen weighed in on that, and then Coleman last year, and presumably, their signings, you would think he would be consulted. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I just don't, and I'm not saying it does, because I wouldn't know. It probably doesn't.
You don't want it to be the swing vote.
I don't want it to be the only.
right.
Like, he, Allen said it there, and we all know it to be, of course, correct. Like, that's not his job,
Right.
So, good that there's a relationship and ideas are exchanged. I think that's good. Bean said on Pat McAfee a day or two ago that Allen does 150 mock drafts a day, which, hyperbole. Allen today said he has zero. He doesn't know this class at all. So that number wasn't 150 a day. It's actually zero for all the days combined for this year.
At least this year anyway. There's still time, though.
There's still time. That's right.
Maybe he only starts doing him once he has some idea who they're considering. Like, if he's got an idea, yeah. Like, here's a half a dozen guys we might consider with our first pick, and that's when he gets to work and fires up the simulators. Okay, let me see how I can work this thing to try to get that guy or this guy.
Josh, bad news. We're not in the receiver market this year, so you can go get married.
I'll be at Pebble Beach. Thank you.
Don't worry about it. We don't need, unless you want to do the linemen, we can ask you if you want to talk about which linemen you think are the best. Let's go to Travis here. Hi, Travis.
Hey, guys. Cooper Kupp was released a couple hours ago. You think there's any money or interest to bring him in on a short deal?
I would guess no. I'm not interested. I would guess they're not either. I think it's sort of the same conversation we've had about other receivers already in this free agency. Really, last week when Christian Kirk was pictured standing side by side with Josh Allen at his bachelor party, Christian Kirk, slot. So I don't know, deteriorating. Although, I don't know, Mike, maybe we should sign him and just wait and use him in December. He's had trouble staying healthy.
If a good team signed Cooper Kupp, I would have the same thought. You know, a team that, how many teams are going to have better playoff odds than the Bills are going to have? One or two? If any, are the Bills like the likeliest team in the league to make the playoffs next year? Would Kansas City be more likely? I don't think Baltimore would, because the division has the Bengals.
And the Chargers they were in the playoffs last year. They're a better looking playoff team than any other team in the AFC East besides the Bills, I think. So I don't know that KC would have better odds than the Bills.
Yeah, so you know, they're just going to be near the top. No, I don't think Kupp works. I do still wonder if Kirk might have been an option for them. If he would have been somebody they would have talked about. And, you know, here we're back on Allen knows him. But even without that, because he has played out wide, and he kind of is what you wanted there as a player. But before he got released, he was traded. So he never made it to the market. Houston traded for him before he was cut. But I wonder if they might have thought about him. Never got a chance to do anything about it. Thanks, Travis. I'm out on Kupp. He wasn't so bad last year. Just another aging receiver, and he's had his injuries too. But you know, like PFF grade, and he had some numbers. But for $20 million, right? The Rams were just not going
right.
to go further.
And I, despite his limitations at this point, I still would think he's above the, you know, the take a flyer on a guy. Status, you know, like he should still get something that'll look good that probably doesn't have the staying power that you'd like when you first, you know, like 3 years for something, but it's really like they can walk away after one or something. I think he's accomplished enough in the league that he's not just going to be a guy that comes in for a couple million bucks. But I could be wrong. We'll see what the market, you know, the market will dictate that ultimately. And you know, with him being released today, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll happen quickly. Maybe somebody's been waiting on that and expecting it. But I wouldn't be comfortable doing it at all. And the only way I would do it is if it were like a ridiculous bargain, and I don't anticipate him being a ridiculous bargain.
Underdog tweeted their top five, Hayden Winks, top five spots for Cooper Kupp: Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago, Arizona, New England. And then he wrote, one of the grossest, best fits graphics of all time, but is unfortunately true. I like Hayden. Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago, Arizona, New England. Who knows, but I'd be out. I wonder, though, like wide receiver already with Palmer, but no Mac Hollins. And then also like Ogunjobi and their defensive ads. What does it all mean, if anything, to the draft? Like, would their moves on defense mean anything to, would it push corner up?
I was just going to say, corner is the thing they've not done anything about so far.
Except trade Elam.
Except trade Elam, which depletes them, which is fine. I mean, you get any kind of assets there. I never thought they'd get a dime for him. So swapping some picks and whatever, coming out ahead in that formula, great. But yeah, it does knock another. See, it's funny, like, another possibility is what I want to say, but to me, he wasn't even a realistic possibility anyways, which is why it's incredible to me that they got something for him at all. Okay, anyway, that's over. There are still guys out, like Asante Samuel Jr. is still out there. He might be at the very top of the market. Dane Jackson, a former Bill, is still out there. They could still make a move, maybe somewhat comparable to the safety they signed earlier today from Washington, Forrest. Maybe they find a guy like that. For corner, but I think draft-wise, that wouldn't push me off of it being a need. Like, if you sign Dane Jackson for some depth or some security or whatever it is, however you want to frame that, boy, I think you're still thinking about upgrading, and the draft would be the next logical place to do that if you don't find anybody out there that you like that you feel is a fit. So I feel like through all of this, that is elevated corner, but it does not either the signings they've made here. Bosa 1 year, the defensive tackle 1 year. Like, these are all patches. So I don't think Ogunjobi eliminates the idea of them drafting the best defensive tackle on the board at 30 because it's a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, the money's not, it's not, you know, the veteran minimum or anything. Like, both guys, Bosa and Ogunjobi, to different extents, got, you know, 12 and 8 million. Like, that's not just walking around money. So, you know, they're expecting these guys to play and contribute for them. But again, at their age and with their, well, especially with Bosa, his injury history, yeah, I mean, if an edge you like falls to 30, I don't think anything you've done here should prohibit you from doing that. So, it lessens the urgency for this year, but to me doesn't eliminate it.
All right. Chris Trapasso coming up at 4. He does have a new mock draft today at CBSSports.com, and he does have a corner now in the Bills slot at 30. Trey Amos. Almost said Tori Amos there for a second. She's Tori Amos.
Right.
Maybe this guy's Amos.
That's,
I don't know.
When you said Amos, it threw me because I'm expecting it to sound like, because I'm thinking about Tori Amos too.
What about John Amos, though? The great, the late great John Amos, the actor. Fitz Wallace, come on. Good Times, you want that? Is that the number one for his career?
I think. Rose to prominence in the 70s on the sitcom.
Did, absolutely did rise to prominence. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But signature role in the West Wing.
If Greg Bauch were here, he'd take the opportunity to squeeze in a blast about his all-time favorite greatest movie, Coming to America.
Yes, that it was amazing. That was his word for
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
I've still never seen it. Yet, I just hammered Greg for years about how we called it amazing.
He deserved to be hammered for that.
He did. I thought it was okay. I thought it was fair.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't see the movie.
You know what I think about that movie? It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I'd watch it. It's fine. I wouldn't say it's amazing.
I don't think it would make you mad. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah, I probably would, especially if John Amos is in it, yeah, which he is.
There you go, right? Thus, him being brought up in this context.
803-0550 is the number to call. Let's get to Jim on a cell phone. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking the call, and I really appreciate your work. So
thank you.
It's an umbrella question. It's not a weakness thing. It's a, you know, we're in the middle of March. Are the Bills better than they were when clock went to 0-0-0-0 against the Chiefs? Are because I think they are, but I'd love to hear your take. Mm. Are the Bills better today than they were when the season ended?
They're certainly not worse on offense, and they scored 30 points a game. The only thing they've done, literally the only change they've made on offense, is trading Mac Hollins for Josh Palmer. And as much as people love Mac Hollins, Josh Palmer's a better offensive player than Mac Hollins, right? So they're certainly not worse on offense. You could argue they're the same or they're better on offense. And then obviously you have guys coming back from injuries. I think that's a big part of this question every year when people ask it, which is they're going to be healthier, right? Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman. But I think just player for player, that being said, they're a little bit better on offense. I think defense is an interesting question because I still wonder what's happening at corner. I like the fact that they brought in a premier pass rusher, Joey Bosa, but I think there's a question. Are you getting any better than you were with Von Miller there last year? Yeah, you could probably say they're better. Michael Hoyt, adding him to the mix. I do think there are a couple holes, but I think generally, yes, I would say probably right. Because better's better, but I also have to, and I don't know if I should do this or not, I'm thinking they're healthier, right? I don't know if I should do that because you have Matt Milano, obviously.
Healthy, though.
Right. Yes, like, you always start the season healthy.
Yeah.
What are you trading? Let's see what you're trading on defense here. On defense, you're trading Von Miller and Kyer Elam right now. Von Miller, Kyer Elam. We don't know what's going on. Let's say Rasul Douglas is gone. And who else are we doing? Austin Johnson, DeJuan Smoot. And you're adding Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, and Derek Forrest. So I think you could argue they're better, sure.
Yeah, and I like that. And we're heading into the draft, and traditionally we finish above the 50% line in most drafts. So I'm pretty optimistic. I know it's March. I get it. I just wanted to hear your take because, you know, like they mentioned earlier, the people that say we got to sign every top-shelf free agent on the face of the planet, no, you don't. Like, we were really freaking good last year, and let's just get better. And if we get better enough, then it ends just the way Josh Allen wants with a win.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think the overall point always for me is how the Bills have approached free agency, I should say. The overall way I think the Bills have approached free agency is filling holes that they have specific skill set needs. That's what Josh Palmer is. Josh Palmer is filling a specific skill set need of a guy on the outside who can beat man-to-man coverage. He's not going to run by you like Xavier Worthy. They still need more speed. But they were missing this specific thing. Maybe he's not the best at it, but it reminds me of Stephon Diggs in a lot of ways. Stephon was fast. He wasn't a, oh my God, burner, track star. But you know how Stephon, you know why he's a great receiver? Because he knew how to get open against man-to-man, and he was a great route runner. I'm not telling you Josh Palmer is Stephon Diggs, and they're getting Josh Palmer right around a little bit, about the same time period of, you know, Stephon Diggs' career when that unfolded, maybe a year or two younger. But either way, I'm not saying he is Diggs. What I'm saying is, that's the kind of player he is, the skill set that he brings. You know, it remains to be seen, obviously, how the Bills want to use him, and he fits in with Shakir and Coleman and Curtis Samuel, whereas Stephon Diggs came in right away. He's the number one receiver. That's not Josh Palmer, but they have not had that guy since Stephon Diggs a couple years ago was that guy. Somebody on the outside who could beat man-to-man coverage. And Stephon really wasn't that at the tail end of his Bills career anyway. On defense, again, you've lost Von Miller, Kyer Elam, so far, Rasul Douglas, Austin Johnson, DeJuan Smoot, Jordan Phillips, and Quentin Jefferson. That's kind of really Casey Tuhill, right? I mean, there's some other underlying guys there. You've added, you've swapped them with Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Derek Forrest at safety. Everything else is the same. They really don't have many changes right now. And your punter is out, Sam Martin, and the only guy on the team right now is Jake Kamada. So I think it's fair to say they've gotten better, but does not mean they're done or they're fully whole.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.